Have a spiritual vacation. How to have a spiritual vacation. I want you to look at Psalm 71. Psalm 71. And when you get that, we're going to look at some scripture in the book of Mark. That's Psalm 71. And then we're going to look at some in the book of Mark. So you can be getting both those places out right quick while everybody's getting settled down. Psalm 71. And then the book of Mark. Talk to you a little bit about vacations. The Bible has some things to say about it, as it does about anything else you can think of. The Bible has some things to say about your vacation. The Bible tells you the right way and the wrong way. And if you're like most people, you're really going to get aggravated. You work all year. You finally get a week off. You want to take your family somewhere and go on vacation. Time you get back, you're broke. You're mad because you went. You wasted your money. You got a dent in your car. The kids are fussing. You and your wife got into it. And you cannot believe you spent money to do that. It's absolutely foolish the way some people do call that a vacation. It really is. It's insane, man. I've done it, man. I've been suckered in. I've been to Disney World and Gatlinburg and everywhere. And I'm not saying it's wrong, you know, under these circumstances. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. But you get out there and you think, I cannot believe I should be getting paid for this. You know, having to put up with them people screaming and pushing and fighting and standing in line. One time we took the kids long, long time ago down there to Six Flags. Lord have mercy. We stood there. We was there about 7 hours. I bet you we rode. People say, I love them rides. 7 hours, I bet you we rode 15 minutes maximum. Maximum. Every ride lasts about 30 seconds or a minute and a half. You stand in line an hour. Sometimes an hour. I hate them little things where it said, from this point, 1 hour and 10 minutes. I mean, you're standing there, sweat dripping off of you, and 1,000 people in front of you pushing in line. You kind of get to know them people. You pass them this way, pass them that way, pass them this way, pass them that way. Man, every time we'd pass them, we'd witness to them, give them tracks and stuff. We had on all them, when we took the kids at camp meeting down there, went through there, and one of them boys said, man, they sure are a lot of God shirts around here. That means I had those Christian t-shirts on. So it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Americans spend probably over $300 billion a year now trying to relax. And just like Elmer Fudd, brother, they say, I want a little West and wee waxation. And it don't turn out like that. It never turns out like that. I told my wife today, I said, I know what we're going to do on 4th of July. Stay home. Stay home. I got to preach that night at camp, but I mean during the day. Cook out. Enjoy your family, kids, home. Man, I can't believe getting out there fighting that traffic and people screaming and hollering and money, Lordy mercy, you don't do nothing without just money, 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 money. I saved up some money 2 or 3 years ago, took the kids on vacation, we blowed it every bit, come back, didn't have nothing to show for it, and I felt like a dog after I got back. But there is such a thing as getting away and taking a break and a good Christian vacation. Look at Psalm 71, verse number 1. Psalm 71, verse number 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. There's our word right there. See that? Resort. That's the modern day. Everybody says, boy, I want to go to this big ski resort. I want to go to this a beach resort. And this place, they got a resort. Okay, I just read you the best resort they are. Psalm 71:3 said, be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. If you really want a little west and wee waxation, the best place to get it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, come unto me, turn me up just a little bit, and I will give you what?
Rest.
He said, come unto me. You will not rest at Carowinds. You will not. When you come back, you'll be tireder than you would have been if you'd have worked your job. First time I went to Disney World, Carrie was about 4 years old. We walked on concrete, man, for about 15 hours. I wound up carrying her the last two on my shoulders. I'm telling you, I've never been so tired in my life. I thought I was dying. And that was a great rest, I tell you. That was a great rest. Now, the word resort means a place to run to for relief, help. I know where I'm going on vacation this summer. I'm going to Alabama tomorrow, but it ain't vacation. Believe you me, if I could pick where I want to go on vacation, it would not be Alabama. It's hotter there than it is here. I can go to Little Switzerland or somewhere, you know, man, if I want to go somewhere. Better yet, I just go to the house and turn the air conditioner on and sit there in front of it. That's the coolest place you'll find. If you ain't got air conditioning, we'll turn it on up here. You can pay us that $1,000 you'd have blowed and come up here and just sit. We'll feed you hamburgers every day, steak one night, if you want to do that. But I want to tell you what, brother, you listen to me. The greatest vacation you'll ever get is just saying, Lord, I need some time away. I need to just get away from it all. I'm going to just snuggle up close to you and get away from everything, and I'm going to enjoy your presence for a little while. That's the greatest way to take a vacation. Now, Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. I'm not going to have much to say about this, so look at it with me. Mark chapter number 2. Everybody wants to go to see the water and the mountains. That's true. They did that in the Bible. They went to the mountains, they went to the water. And as the old saying goes, sinners go to the beach. Amen? Sinners go to the beach. Christians go to the coast. That's right. Christians go to the coast. Sinners go to the wicked beach. And let me just say right here tonight, now you know it's coming anyway, so I might as well say it. There ain't nothing wrong with water and sand. There ain't nothing wrong with water and sand. It's the atmosphere of them hell holes what makes them wicked. I refer to such places as Myrtle Beach, Daytona Beach, Panama City Beach, all those places. I mean, them places would be all right if all the people would leave. That's right. And I know there's wicked people everywhere. There's wicked people at Walmart, and I know you can't get away from them. But there's no use putting yourself right in the smack middle of a bunch of people just raising Cain and partying and drinking unless you have to. There's nothing wrong. I can tell you places where you can take your family to the beach where there ain't nobody. If you want to go to the beach, that's a place to go. Like at Pensacola. Places where you can just keep driving on and on. You don't see a soul. Get out there and enjoy yourself. But there's nothing wrong with this. I can show you this in the Bible. Mark chapter 2 and verse 13. Mark chapter 2, verse 13. Here's the Lord and the disciples. And he went forth again by the seaside. Well, I'll be. There's the Lord, dong down to the lake. And all the multitude resorted. They went to a resort at the water. But look what they did. They resorted unto him. Unto him. Do you think them people at Myrtle Beach are going there to get close to Jesus? That's the wildest place I've ever seen in my life, man. And I've been to Daytona. And I've been on the beach in California. And I've been in the Caribbean. And I've seen some wild places, brother. But that's the wildest place I've ever seen in my life. I believe it's demons that makes you want to go there. Don't shout everybody at the same time. Don't get mad at me either. I'm just telling you, listen, brother, that place is wicked. It's wicked. Now, some of y'all are sitting there like, you was planning on leaving tomorrow morning, wasn't you? Look at me, man. I'm trying to save you money. You save it and we'll split it. How's that? I did not say it was wrong to go swimming. I did not say it was wrong to go. But I just think, man, there's certain atmospheres. What would you think about? What would you think about a man that just takes his whole family and goes and sits in a bar on Friday night and just sits in a bar? I mean, he don't drink. But he just sits in there in the bar, everybody drinking, staggering around, cussing, everything. There's no use putting yourself in a place like that. No use in it. You can have fun and enjoy life. Well, I know somebody is sitting here about to fall through your seat. And really, I mean, I don't mean to be mean. I love you. And if you go tomorrow, I'll still love you. And I ain't gonna hold it against you. I'm just telling you, if you want a spiritual vacation, they resorted unto him. Unto him. I mean, I'd go to the beach if the Lord wanted me to. Look here. You better get close to the Lord than you do. Look at Mark chapter 10. Look at Mark chapter 10. Here's another one. Mark chapter number 10 and verse number 1. Mark chapter 10 and verse 1. It's amazing how they went down there to that water. And here they are at the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. And verse 1 said, and the people resort unto him. They resort unto him. Their relief was Jesus Christ. Their getaway was Jesus Christ. Their help was the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, boy, I'll tell you, I'll be glad to get away from here for a while. Well, if you do, you ought to be wanting to get to the Lord. To the Lord. Listen, church is the greatest vacation you'll ever have because there you get to the Lord. You know what your problem is, some of you? You're just miserable because you got just enough religion to make you miserable. You're just close enough to the Lord so you can't just go out and go wild, but you're too far away from the Lord to enjoy church. So you're just stuck between you can't enjoy the world or church. And you need to resort unto the Lord. You need to resort unto Him. Now, where you want to go on vacation? The Lord said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. There's nothing wrong with going on vacation as long as you honor God. Matter of fact, I think you should if you honor God. If you're tied up, now I travel all the time, so I don't want to go nowhere. But if I was like some of you people, and I had to work in a factory 50 weeks a year, and I got a week off, I surely would want to go. See, I don't have evenings at home like you people do. I don't have weekends at home like some of y'all do. If I got a chance to take off, I'd want to take off somewhere. That'd be a blessing. But you just make sure you honor God. Everybody wants to go where the fish bite and the mosquitoes don't. That's your perfect vacation spot. How long should you go on vacation? You know how long you should go? You should go long enough for your boss to miss you, but not long enough for him to realize he does not need you. Amen. That's right. You stay gone too long, they'll figure out they don't need you at all, and you won't have a job when you get back. You stay gone just long enough for them to say, well, I miss old so-and-so. Well, I'm back. And, you know, they'll appreciate you a little bit. That's how long you should go on vacation. I remember reading about one illustration where they had a tourist guide in Switzerland, and this guy was taking them to her, and he was showing them all the cliffs and everything. He said, now be careful. Right over there is the highest, he said, that's the highest peak in Switzerland. He said, don't fall off of there. But if you do, look to the right. It's the best view for miles and miles and miles. That's the way some people go. Some people go to the mountains to see the scenery, and some go to the beach to be the scenery. Other people just say, well, I'm just going to do this, and I'm just going to kick back and get me a little camper. You know what I can't figure out? I'm not being critical. I'm just saying it's hard for me to figure out. What I can't figure out, people, you might want to do this, nothing personal. I can't figure out people who get a little pop-up camper and drive to California, staying in every KOA campground between here and there. That does not sound like fun. You may want to do that. That's fine. I think it's, if you want to do that, hallelujah. It takes all kinds to make a world. But I'll tell you what, brother, why in the world anybody would want to drag a camper through Colorado and stop and pull all that stuff out and make cold sandwiches and lay on them mattresses, them old hard things under them, and get out and get rain and get everything soaking wet and pile it up again and go 100 miles the next day and do that again is beyond me. Beyond me. I like my bed with my food, you know, and my air condition. I can't understand people who buy a $100,000 home to enjoy and then turn right around and buy a $90,000 camper to get away from that $100,000 home. You kind of get the idea that there's something wrong on the inside. People are not satisfied with nothing no more. Buy a camper. It's air conditioned. Got a dishwasher. Camping. Well, we're roughing it, man. Got a dishwasher, satellite TV, and everything. On his camper, won't you just stay at home? Just put wheels on your house. Same thing. But, I mean, you know, that's what you want to do. That's your business. Vacation is when you go hundreds and hundreds of miles to get away from everybody and send them a postcard saying, wish you were here. That's what a vacation is. All right, I want to talk to you about how to have a spiritual vacation. Somebody said, who is rich? Who is rich anyway? The man who's content. Who is rich? The man that's just happy with what God gives him. All right, three things quickly. Three things. Number one, when you go on vacation this year, you make sure if you're gone on a weekend that you go to God's house. Very simple instruction. I believe that ought to be the rule made by the man of the house. He ought to say, now, hey, if we're in Florida, you say, well, Brother Danny, we're going to Florida and we're going to be driving all day Sunday so that we'll have all Monday and Tuesday and all that. Well, I'll tell you what you ought to do. You ought to stop somewhere and go to church. There's a lot of good churches between them and here in Florida. Make it to Jacksonville and go down there to Trinity Baptist. Make it on down at one of those great churches like that. It'd be a good experience for you. Some of y'all ought to go off when you go on vacation, just pick you one out and go to a dead church sometime. You'd appreciate ours when you get back. Ain't that right? Amen. I tell you what, brother, hey, you ought to go to God's house. Go to God's house. Go to God's house. A couple of years ago, my wife, we was on our way to Florida for something. I had to preach down there or do something. And it was a church time, and we just got to look. And I said, we're going to find a church here in the next couple of hours. You say, well, we're not dressed for church. Well, dress for church. And go in. And boy, I'll tell you what, we pulled in there, went into a little church, got a blessing. Go to God's house. Take your family to God's house Sunday morning. I don't think a Christian ought to go to Disney World and stay all day on Sunday. You ought to go to God's house Sunday morning, Sunday night, and go to Disney World on Monday. Amen? And I'm getting worried about them people at Disney World anyway. They're getting a little queery down there. They're starting to sponsor Gay Day. Somebody told me a good one this morning. They said this. They said, if Mickey dumps Minnie for Donald, he's goofy. That's pretty good, ain't it? If Mickey starts being a queer and messing around with Donald, dumps Minnie, he's goofy. And brother, it's getting that way. It's getting that way. I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, you make sure you go to God's house. Make sure you go to God's house. Make sure you go to God's house. One trip to Disney World in a lifetime is enough for anybody. Oh, Lord, it's awful. And I tell you what, it's enough for anybody. It's enough for anybody. Amen, men? Yes, sir. I guarantee it. Make sure you go to God's house. Number two. When you're on vacation, you're still a child of God, so you make sure you're a good example of a Christian while you're on vacation. Amen? That means if it's wrong to drink beer here in Marion, it's wrong to go have one in Florida while you're on vacation. That means that it's wrong to have wine in the refrigerator. You say, well, Brother Danny, you wouldn't know it and nobody would know it. Yeah, but God knows it. And if it's wrong to drink wine here at supper, it's wrong to go out and at the beach and go to a restaurant and have wine there. Amen? Sure. Amen! Oh, by the way, too, just because it's the 4th of July does not mean it's right to show your nakedness, neither. You should always dress decent on your vacation. Keep your clothes on in public. You wouldn't think that a preacher would even have to say that. You'd think that people who claim to be Christians would know they're supposed to cover their nakedness in public. But the day we're living in, people say, you know what one woman said? She said, well, I just wear a bathing suit out, but it's a modest bikini. Tell me, what in the world is a modest bikini? Oh, you mean it ain't as bad as some. That's what you mean. But you're not judging by what everybody else has got on. You're judging by what we done like the ruler this morning, by the Bible. What does the Bible say about nakedness? I'll tell you what the Bible says about nakedness. It says anything above here. This part right here. You know what that is? That's your thighs. The Bible calls that nakedness. And the Bible said it's wrong. You show your nakedness in public. You say, well, I am not going to go out and swim it and all that. Suit yourself. It's your business. But I'm just telling you, people don't look at you. We did it. We took our girls to Gatlinburg and took them to the water park. And they wore something down to here and just a shirt over their bathing suit. And nobody didn't look at it. You know what people thought? They thought, them people's real smart. They don't want those kids sunburnt. That ain't why we did it. We did it because the Lord teaches it in the Bible. You want me to show you? Turn your Bible to Exodus 28. Get your Bibles out now so you won't think I'm just giving you my opinion. Get your Bibles out in the book of Exodus chapter 28. That's what our rule is at camp, to the knee. That's what our rule, our school, nothing above the knee. Hey, it's pretty sad when we got teenage girls in here that's got more convictions than their mama. Amen. Preach it, brother. It's sad when we got kids in our school that want to live right better than their daddy does. We wouldn't have no trouble outlaw these girls if their mama would do right. Amen. Well, I tell you what, I'm having a hard time with this right now. But y'all know it's right. And you know I'm telling you the truth. You might as well just get with it here. You know, just get with it. If mama do right, we wouldn't have to. It's bad when you know where the girl's getting it from mama. We had teenage girls in our church come up to me here a while back. They said, guess what, Brother Danny? We're supposed to go to the beach with our family this summer. And Brother Danny, we've already decided that our shorts are going to come down to our knees, and said, our family's going to think we're crazy, but we're going to do it anyway to please the Lord. Amen. When a 16-year-old girl has got a lot of conviction like that, or 17, stand up for God. Exodus 28. Exodus 28, he's talking about the clothes of the high priest. Gives you a little definition. This is other place in the Old Testament too. This is what makes people get mad, and this is what makes people think, judge him. I'm just reading you what the Bible said. These linen breeches that they made them. Look at verse 41. Thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and thou shalt anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. Here it is. To cover their nakedness. From the loins unto the thighs shall they reach. You know what your thigh is? Go home and look it up in your dictionary. It's right here, this part above the knee, right here. Now let's just talk plain for a minute. Every one of you men know exactly what I'm talking about. If a man can see a woman walk by with a skirt on or something on to here, and he can see from here down, and it's no big deal. Any man in here, if he's honest, he can tell you, if he sees from here up this part of a woman above her knee, it does something to him. And if you say it don't, I'll say, there's something wrong with you, you need to go to the doctor, or you may be a little funny. Amen. Amen, boys, ain't that right? Let's just be honest here tonight. There's something about this part of a woman that flips a man's switch, brother. And God knew what He was talking about when He called that part nakedness. God knew. Ain't no mistakes in this book. So, ladies, keep that part of your body covered. You say, does that mean it can be low cut? No, that ain't what that means. You know what I found out? You can make all kinds of rules on people. If they want to flaunt it, they'll flaunt it. You know what I admire? I admire these young ladies in here that are pretty. I mean, could be in a beauty contest and still keep their nakedness covered up. Man, if some of you grandmas look like they look, Lord, you'd be out here running nude. You look like an elephant in a diaper, though, man, if you dressed like you they wanted to. The same thing goes for you little bony-legged men. Lord, I tell you, man, I've seen them before. I don't know why I've seen them before coming in their shorts on and their belly. They look like they're pregnant, man. I don't know what's wrong with them. It's hanging way out here. Old hair's all over it. About 10 gold chains around their neck, sweating like a dog. And their two legs look like a tick. Little bitty skinny legs walking down through here. I mean, sickening. If I looked like that, I wouldn't want to wear shorts. It's right or wrong. I at least hope I looked halfway decent if I was going to. You don't have to worry about nobody lusting after you, that's for sure. That's awful. They look like an anemic flamingo. I tell you, brother, I mean, are they sickening? Why in the world anybody want to go out looking like that? I don't know. You say, well, Danny, this is a big uptown church. Preachers don't preach on that no more. Oh, yeah, they do. Oh, yeah, they do. Hey, I'm a compromiser compared to son. I'm being easy on y'all. I'm being easy on you. All I'm trying to get you to do is just do right by the Word of God. And it's a blessing to see you when you do. Keep it covered. Keep it covered. You girls know when your dress or your clothes are too short. You know why? Because I've seen you. As soon as the preacher walks up, you start doing this. If you have to go around like that all the time, I mean, is your conscience bothering you or something? I mean, don't that tell you something? You say, well, I just have different convictions than you. Like I said this morning, your opinion don't matter. What does this book say? What does the book say? The book says that part right there is nakedness. You tear it out, throw it out, do whatever you want to. Be an example of a Christian. Go to the beach if you want to, man. Just keep your nakedness covered. That's not unreasonable. I think I'm, you know, real level-headed and balanced. And then the third thing is, be a witness. Be a witness. Take you a handful of tracts, and be a witness while you're there. Be a witness while you're there. Man, you can really witness to a lot of people while you're on vacation. We was in Gatlinburg a few years ago, and the girls, they love these little games. You know, a little game where you roll this ball up a little ramp, and it's got a big hole, little hole, little hole, little hole. It's kind of like bowling or something, but it's ski ball. Yeah, like that. They love to do that. And you roll them, and those rolling, and you put 50 cent in or a quarter or something. It used to be a quarter. It's probably 50 cent now. And these people that run these things that give you tickets, man, we give a girl a track there, and God got a hold of her heart. And I mean, one girl there started crying. Some of them ain't heard about God in years. Some of them, listen, you'll never see them people again for all eternity. Wouldn't it be a blessing just to be with? Put you a bumper sticker on the back end of your car. One that they can read plain. I got Jesus Saves out there on my truck. I got the fool said in his heart, there is no God on my car. Listen, if you're going to drive around all over creation, you might as well be a witness. Be a witness, man. Some of you people, you think that's, you know, nerdy, or you think that's a little fanatical, or you think that, listen, you don't know. I heard about a truck driver who a car passed him, and he saw a bumper sticker on the back of the car that said, at the end of the road, you'll meet God. And it got a hold of him, and he pulled over on the side of the road and got saved because of a bumper sticker. Be a witness. That don't take no effort at all. $3 in the bookstore. And you can be a witness to thousands and thousands of people. Thousands. Of course, I know why some of you may not want to. It's because you cut in front of people and blow the horn and cuss them out and everything else, and you ain't no good witness. My bumper stickers make me behave. Because a lot of times I think, man, I could just cut right. And I thought, no, I can't. I got that bumper sticker on the back of my car. They'll keep you in line because you'll know it's a shame on the Lord. So you straighten up. I believe it has an effect on a cop. Sometimes a little bit. Be a witness. Be a witness. You can rest in the Lord. You can rest in the Lord. The truth is now, a bat lives longer than a lot of birds. You know why a bat lives so long? Because some of them things can relax. They say a bat can go from 180 heartbeats a minute to 3. One breath every 8 minutes. Son, that is chilling. Really, that is. I mean, that is taking it easy. Here's a bat every 8 minutes. 8 minutes goes by. Man, you'd live forever if you could just cool it. Just relax like that. Learn how to relax. Learn how to relax. I believe this. Somebody said, if you're happy with your job, and you're happy with your home, and you're happy with your church, you can be a totally happy person. Those three areas in your life. If either one of those gets out of whack, it can really make your life miserable. Your home, your job, or your church. If you got a job you like, and a church you like, and a home you like, you're in good shape. You can really be happy. And I know there are things about all three of those that we could change if we would. Our homes, our jobs, our churches. They're not perfect. But if you're happy with your home, your job, and your church, you can have vacation anytime you want to. Just resort unto the Lord. The thing is, when you go somewhere this year, be careful. Be careful on the highways. Half of people you meet's drunk. Especially in the next 2 weeks. 1 out of 10 on a regular week. What do you think it's going to be in the next 2 weeks? Only God can protect us, man. I mean, we're headed to Atlanta tomorrow. Only the grace of God will protect us. 100 degrees in Atlanta. So listen. Go to God's house. Be an example. Dress right. Act right. Behave right. And be a witness. And God will bless you. You know who my heart goes out to? My heart goes out to you ladies who want to do right and do all these things I said, but your husband just mean as a snake and forces you to go against it. I'll tell you what you do. You just do the best you can and keep a clear conscience, and that sorry thing will answer for it to God one day. Amen. Don't say, well, Brother Danny, I want to do everything you preach, but my husband just won't let me. Well, he'll answer for it one day. You just do the best you can and don't worry about it. Amen? If he makes you dress wicked, or he makes you act wicked, or he takes you to wicked places, you just keep your heart right, and God will get him one of these days. Amen? All right, let's stand and pray. Well, John, if you've got that song coming to me, maybe, if we have, I'd like to sing that. And Let's just pray tonight and you tell the Lord, Lord, I want to have a spiritual vacation if you have one at all. Father, we thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your concern. We ask you, Lord, that you'd bless now these brothers and sisters. And Lord, help us all to have a spiritual vacation that we can vacate, that we can resort unto thee. And Lord, help all these people to know that wherever they decide to go, if they'll put you first and honor you, that you'll bless them and take care of them.